How do you create, develop, and cultivate leadership in your organization? Imagine what can happen when you have mission-minded leaders and enthusiastic team members who believe they can build business as a force for good. Hi, everybody. My name is Jason Lipper, the CEO at LCI Industries, and I welcome you to this edition of Built to Lead podcast. We are delighted to share the real-life experiences of others who have courageously stepped into the power of creating a culture that feels like family, a culture where every team member has a deep sense of purpose. Take what you hear today and be inspired to build a culture of caring, giving, and leading in your organization. Amazing things happen when you place people at the core of what you do every day. Welcome to this edition of Built to Lead.
Welcome back to Built to Lead, the podcast of Lippert and the Lippert Academy for Leadership. I'm Edgar Cabello, your host, and I'm with my good friend and the director of the Academy, Bill Coughlin. Bill, welcome back, my friend.
Thank you, Edgar. Always good to be with you.
As always. And we're also, this is a special episode because we're doing the 2022 wrap-up with our leader, Jason Lippert. So, Jason, welcome back to the show.
Hi, guys. Good to see you. Thanks for having me.
Always good to see you, man. So I was thinking as we were getting ready to have this conversation, the last time we talked to you was about this time last year. And obviously, we were just coming out of the whole COVID thing, so quite a lot's changed in about the last year. You know, we're about a decade-ish into this whole leadership development journey here. And I got to thinking, like, so back when you got this thing moving, what was in your mind's eye at that point? Like, give us a snapshot of what was rolling around inside your head when it came to leadership development. Why were you going down that road? What did you see?
Yeah, time goes so fast. It didn't seem like we were together for this moment a year ago.
Right.
But yeah, if we roll it back 10 or 11 years, what I remember is, you know, we'd launch into the culture journey, you know, with values first. And, you know, it became apparent really soon after that, you know, we've got all these men and women on the front lines of our business. They've come from pretty, you know, not so great work environments. You know, we knew the stats for how people were leading in the manufacturing workplace were, mm-hmm. you know, not so great. So we just said, hey, look, what can we do to improve that and teach people what leadership looks like? And we, you know, I remember we just said, hey, look, let's look at a leadership coach or somebody that can go in and help coach the men and women leading the frontline team members to, you know, just learn what leadership looks like and learn what good looks like. And that, you know, we started with one hire there.
Yeah. So you make your first hire, right? And you're starting to kind of introduce the idea of coaching. I mean, I got to tell you, like, even as I look around the landscape right now, I don't know, there's a lot of companies 10 years later that are talking about this. So, I mean, what's it been like to kind of pioneer something? Because I still don't, and I don't know everything, but I don't know of anything like what we have our hands on right now. So, I mean, you've got friends that are kind of operating companies and doing that kind of thing. What do you see out there? And why is this still not a thing that's really catching fire, like I'm sure you would love to see it?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of reasons why I don't think it's catching fire. I think the hard part is just the people look at spending money and say, what's the ROI? Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's hard to put an ROI. Bill, I mean, you do this every day. I agree, you do this every day. It's hard to put an ROI to it, but we know being in it every day that there's personal transformation. There's, you know, there's transformation in how people lead themselves, their teams, the business ultimately. And, you know, we see all sorts of great stuff come from that. But, you know, when we put the first leadership coach out there, you know, we realized quickly with, you know, thousands of team members and hundreds of leaders that we had a lot of work to do and one person wasn't going to be able to get that done. Mm-hmm. So we, you know, one became two became four became eight. And, you know, we've seen all of that work translate to just better leadership, which when we have better leaders, we know that, you know, our workforce gets more effective and accurate. They stay longer and people are happier. They go home and, you know, impact their families in a better way. So, you know, all this leadership coaching that we're doing with our frontline team members on the front lines was kind of the launching of how we decided we were going to coach leadership in our business. Cause, you know, 95% of our workforce is in our manufacturing facilities.
Right. Yeah. And it's true. And I think we've seen it, haven't we, Bill? Like just the impact that the coaching relationship has when somebody comes to you and they can look you in the eye and tell you like their current struggle, like right now. I mean, what's that like?
Before I answer that, okay. When we talk about ROI, I think what we're doing today in this organization, you can't look short term at the ROI, right? This is the long-term game. This is legacy. This is changing people's lives. This can be changing people's lives on how they raise their children, how they go home every night, how they feel valued, respected. This can be truly done the right way. It can be saving marriages, mm-hmm. right? It can be teaching people how to save money, right? And have a budget in there. So this is like life coaching.
It is.
So yeah.
That's a better way to put it.
Yeah.
That's a better point. And I was just thinking the same thing you were. I mean, you know, saying, okay, when we talk about ROI in our business, we're not talking about return on an investment in dollars. Right. We measure marriage improvements. We measure, yes. you know, family relationship improvements, improvements with your kids and
health
smoking
and wellness.
Cessation. Yeah, health and wellness, all that kind of stuff. So I think the businesses to realize the true return on, you know, investing in leadership coaching for businesses is looking at how ROI might look in terms of, you know, personal transformation and mm-hmm. personal and professional development sure. versus a dollar figure.
Yeah, that's right. And mm-hmm. and things like retention, when people actually, when you kind of build those, like truly build those relationships over a period of time, and then trust develops. And we've said quite often, and I know you've said it as well, Jason, that is like, when we're paying attention to our people, when we care for them, we're attentive to their needs, leaders or otherwise, then performance seems to follow that.
Yeah.
It just like the investment on the front end makes a lot of sense when it comes to ROI.
And let's be clear too that sure. you know, for all those businesses out there that says there's got to be some kind of ROI that's measurable in terms of dollars, there is. I mean, we were at 120% turnover. You know, we're at, you know, above 30 today. We were below 30 mm-hmm. a couple of years ago mm-hmm. before COVID. We'll be back there. But that drop in turnover, I mean, there's lots of studies and surveys out there about how much business owners and business leaders think it costs to hire, recruit, train, you know, and then do that process all over again.
Right.
So we have, you know, on 15,000 people dropping our turnover like we have, that's a significant amount of savings if you're going to put it in that kind of perspective. So there is real return, but we're also measuring some of the intangibles and
yeah, and some of the things like we often talk about. Safety gets better when you don't have the turnover and innovation and just efficiencies out in our operation. Training costs go down. I mean, there's so many things mm-hmm. that if you can hang on to your people and they feel valued, appreciated, respected at the end of the day, it helps the organization.
Well, and then the other critical piece I think that we've been talking a lot about this year is, and for the last several years, is the idea of just development. It's like helping them take their next step forward personally, professionally, and I mean, there's plenty of data behind that as well. So when you provide the resources, the leadership within the organization to help people take steps forward, then, I mean, they just walk away better. Like the numbers are pretty strong that say that I'm going to stay here. I feel satisfied in the work that I do. The types of things that we would hear on surveys, like the data is there to prove that people actually do respond to a coaching type of environment. So so here we are at the end of 2022. The leader action plans have been on part of the landscape for a while now. Tell us why this continues to be such an elemental part of your message.
Yeah, so I've thought about that question a lot over the last couple of years, and people ask it all the time. Why is it the most important thing? And I asked a simple question back. You know, we have 15,000 people. Is it better for 15,000 of our people to be growing and developing, or 500, mm-hmm. or 1,000? Pick a number. You know, nobody disagrees that having 15,000 people, all of our team members, working on some kind of personal professional growth plan and journey for their lives is the best way to go. So if that's the best way to go and we all agree on that, then what are we doing to move the needle, you know, on that whole mm-hmm. on that whole process? And you know, that's why we're laser focused on it, because we believe that, you know, if every human being is trying to grow a little bit personally and professionally, it helps a business. It doesn't matter either one.
That's right.
So how do we help people do that?
Yeah.
And you got to have some resources to do that. So that's where our coaching staffs come in, and our you know, our culture team comes in. That's another thing that I tell businesses all the time is, you want to move the needle, you can't do it with just HR. I mean, they're mm-hmm. already busy. So who do you have on the culture team? And if your answer is nobody, then that's where you start.
Yeah, mm-hmm. that's right. So earlier on in the year, we had a podcast with Jeff Colin, who runs the awning mm-hmm. department over at 58. So I popped in and saw him the other day, and he showed me these three big boards in his office. He says, these are the last of our LAP boards that are about to go out. So there's now like a public kind of display of all the LAPs in awnings. And he told me beginning of this year, 2022, that he says, everybody on our team, not just leaders, everybody's going to have an LAP. He says, we'll be there by next week.
That's awesome.
So just those are the types of things that are happening. I'm like, so Jeff, that's great. But what impact does that have? And he's like, you would not believe the conversations that our people are having with each other right now. Mm-hmm. It just completely changes the landscape of work at that point in time. And people are relating on a different level. I mean, it's pretty powerful when you start to hear stories like that, isn't it?
Well, yeah, because you don't do it alone, right? You do it through and with others mm-hmm. if you're going to grow and develop. So a quick story. I went home last night. I walked into the kitchen. My wife's cooking. And so I say to her, hey, babe, what are you making? Mushroom soup. I go, okay, what else? She goes, no, mushroom soup. I go, that's our dinner tonight? She says, yes. I'm like, what's the matter with you? Now, here's what's interesting about it. She's trying to get me to take care of myself, do a better job of taking care of myself. So I took advantage of one of our health and wellness initiatives. I went and did this heart check through Goshen Hospital. I get the results, and they're sending me now to a cardiologist. So on December 1st. But Lisa's saying, hey, listen, you're not right. I want a good record when you come out of that thing. So, but it happens in your home. It happens at, and I have a leadership action plan thing sitting there, and one of my goals, get down to 185 pounds. I got some work to do. So I'm probably having mushroom soup again tonight.
Hey, but those are the, if the company wasn't pushing health and wellness, and again, we've got people and resources there, so it's not just like, we're not just telling people to go get healthier. You know, we've got this great program that, you know, that offers that 3D heart scan. And, you know, we've had probably 500 people take advantage of that. I know 3 or 4 people needed to go see a cardiologist right away. Could save their lives. Yeah. Definitely going to put them in a spot where they're able to know that they've got a problem coming up. But I think the other thing, too, is we had a couple of people die of heart attacks on the job last year. And that happens all over at every company. Sure. And if we can care enough about our people to just start getting them to think about health and wellness or how they lead or being more self-aware. It's like the company has 40, 50 hours a week to do this with our team members coach them. And most companies don't do a lot of that.
That's right. Yeah. And it needs to happen, right? Mm-hmm. Like we got them kind of, in a lot of cases, like boxed up and in the same place. Like we live life together for most of our waking hours. Mm-hmm. And so to really push out these really important messages. And then even like on the topic of health and wellness, like we even know of people that went to get like a heart scan, but then something else popped up.
Right.
Like, and so there's some discovery happening almost by accident, but thankfully, like these are the types of things that are happening. And our people are feeling more and more compelled to participate mm-hmm. in this kind of holistic, comprehensive way of living your work life. And the idea of checking it at the door isn't so much out there anymore,
right.
is it, Bill?
Right. No, it's not. I mean, how many companies have a mobile medical unit that's coming up to the facilities to help people out, to give them their numbers, right? And free of charge. Mm-hmm. I mean, some of the things we're doing are unbelievable for our people.
Yeah, I think the mobile medical unit that stops, you know, at multiple facilities every day mm-hmm. around here, and it's a nice unit, you know, it sees hundreds of people, you know, on a weekly basis. And I think we've had over, you know, 2,500 people, you know, get their blood work done so that they know where they're starting from. They know what opportunities they have. I mean, again, if the company and we're not pushing each other to do this kind of stuff, then it's hard to make improvement in these areas. Right. Everybody else is just focused on work.
Right.
What's mm-hmm. our production schedule? Mm-hmm. How much are we going to get out?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What do we get done today?
Yeah.
It's like those things are important, but we can do so much more with the time that we have with people. But the business and the business leaders have to take the initiative and have the courage to get into some of these issues and get them out there. And it's not easy. You guys deal with it every day. It's not easy to get it out there and talk about personal and professional growth or health and wellness plans. Or, you know, all philanthropy, serving, all the other things that we do to, you know, get our team members involved and develop relationships with one another. But it's necessary if you're going to get to the next level in business.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. I was talking to one of our leaders the other day that runs one of our facilities, and he said he got his numbers back and it wasn't encouraging. So she didn't make a mushroom soup, but he says, you know, I haven't touched booze in 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. And for him, he knew that was, nobody told him that. That wasn't the prescription. Right. But he's like, I needed to make this change. Mm-hmm. And it got my wife's attention. And so again, some of the things that are happening during the work day are impacting the kind of stuff that's happening at home right now.
Yeah. Edgar, Bill, I'm doing a listening session every week, as you know, with one of our facilities. And I bring up the health and wellness topic and what we're doing to make sure people are aware. And I'm telling you that when it comes to the listening part of the listening discussions, that's half of what people want to talk about. They're, you know, the light bulbs are coming on. They're realizing mm-hmm. that, hey, look, the company is trying to help me, you know. You know, and by the way, I do want to live as long as I can. I don't want to wake up one day and realize I've got something that's irreversible. So a lot of people try to ignore health and wellness as long as I can until it's a problem.
Yeah, for
and
sure.
then you got to deal with it. So, again, leadership is the same way. I mean, we're waking people up every day yeah. as to the power and influence and impact they can have as leaders. And, you know, these people are, you know, our people across the company that are leading people and maybe even leading themselves better. They're going home now, not focused on, hey, how much did we get done today? Did we have record sales? Did we have mm-hmm. record production? They're saying, man, the steps I took really is changing my life, or it's improving my life, it's impacting my life at home, or man, I helped one of the people on my team take some steps and start a leadership action plan, a personal professional growth journey, or whatever they did to help somebody else move the needle. And those are the things that you'll, on your deathbed, those are the things you're going to remember. You're not going to remember
really
how much you built.
Absolutely.
You're going to remember who you've helped.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. I mean, how often do we hear a story where somebody just changes the way that they think about themselves, what they see when they look in the mirror some days? You know, somebody who's like, I'm losing, losing, losing. But then we kind of help them kind of sort through some of the, like, what's good? What can you applaud that's happening in your life right now? And I can't tell you, man, like, it's unbelievable how in the workspace, it's hard for me to explain to people when they ask me, mm-hmm. what do you do? Mm-hmm. Right. And I try to give them an accurate picture of what that's like, and how I don't know that there's a day gone by since I started almost 6 years ago, man, where I haven't just felt like, what another amazing opportunity to make impact with yeah, people, you know,
absolutely.
And how it changes my life as a result of it. And it truly is transformative. So whatever we started 10 years ago, okay, whatever was rolling around inside your head and whatever was the impulse to make you kind of fire down that path, Jason, I mean, it almost sounds too elementary for people to believe it, but it's making a big impact in people's mm-hmm. lives right now. I mean, what are you seeing, Bill, as you're going? Because now you're taking this message out to other companies, which I know that kind of came into the picture at some point too, but tell us what you're seeing when you go out there.
I'm a believer that everything we're doing focuses more on the positive mm-hmm. than on the negative, right? It's not that you ignore things that don't happen right, but if you focus on the positive, more positive comes. There's science behind it. And so my goal when I work with other organizations, I love sharing our story. I've been around for a bit of it. It's a great story to share. And sometimes people ask me, the first thing they say is, Bill, is this just a cool social media campaign or is it real?
Yeah.
And there's nothing like bringing them in and walking them through whatever facility they want to go to unannounced and saying, go talk to the people. They'll tell you if it's real or yeah. not. Don't ask me because I'm not here to sell you anything. But it works, right? And when they get to talk to people, they're like, holy smokes, how yeah. do we do it? We have a commitment, and Jason has a vision to say, we'll work with whatever company wants to work with us, but we want them to make the investment. We don't want to just be a consulting
that's
arm
right.
that's out there doing it, because we want them to own it. That's how it sticks. That's how it stays. And so I commend you for what you invest in us and our team to be here every day, because I believe that's why it sticks. That's why it becomes real in the organization.
And one other comment I just want to, I think, make is that, you know, the whole business community, you know, public and private, they're waking up to the fact that, you know, businesses, you know, we've got to get beyond the absolute capitalism view of what business is here for and look at all the stakeholders. And our team members are one of those stakeholders. It's not just the shareholders anymore, but so if you believe in that and you believe that, you know, we ought to be impacting a lot of different areas positively, you know, how are you impacting your team members? And, mm-hmm. you know, is it going beyond just growth of the business, you know, in terms of, you know, however you measure the business success, how are you measuring the success of growth in your team members? Because ultimately, if your team members are growing, like we started talking about, mm-hmm. the business will grow and evolve,
absolutely,
you know, in a pretty amazing way. But, it takes that investment in the people, not just teaching them how to do a job.
That's right.
This episode of Lippert Built to Lead podcast is brought to you by the Lippert Academy for Leadership, the team committed to enhancing your organization's leadership and cultural goals with strategic leadership development programs, on-site training, executive coaching, speaking engagement, and customized solutions. Find out how to get your organization involved at www.lci1.com/academy. Or send us a message at academy@lci1.com. That's academy@lci1.com.
I guess, you know, Jason, you mentioned just a little bit ago, like you're doing listening sessions every week throughout the organization. There again, somebody was just telling me the other day, I was just like, I don't think they'd been working at a company for about 7 years, said, I don't think I've ever been in the same space as my CEO, okay? So you're very active. You're out there, you're talking, you're listening to our people right now. Why is that? What, tell us about listening sessions and why that's a critical piece of what we're doing to build our culture.
Yeah. So, you know, first of all, it's just for me, it's modeling for everybody else. It's, you know, I want all of our people to listen. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's the biggest thing I feel we've missed on, you know, the effective communication piece over the last, you know, decade is we can be better listeners. Mm-hmm. And part of it's to no fault of, you know, any leader we have in the business. It's businesses train people to, you know, bark orders and tell people what to do. Here's your production schedule, get it done. You know, I don't want to hear anything about it, just get it done.
Right.
Well, that's not helpful to people. And we're certainly not growing people if that's a message day in and day out. We're not inspiring people day in and day out. So, you know, let's take time to, you know, let's tell them tell our people what we need, but let's also take time to listen and see what we can do to make things better. And, you know, the listening sessions are an opportunity for me to just cast some of our vision, where the company is going, but more importantly, where we're at on the culture journey. Because every year, as we continue to evolve, new things pop up. We get good at these past things we've been working on, and now we've got more new things we want to work on. You know, we keep leadership action plans will be a topic for, you know, for a long time, because that's going to be the foundation of whether we're actually growing as a business in a good way. Is are people growing?
Yeah.
So, you know, the listening sessions have a lot of good impact in a lot of different ways, but a lot of it's just, I want our leaders to do the same thing
that's right.
I'm taking the time to do. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And part of it's just reprioritizing your workday and your schedules. I mean, we've all come up through the business and we get in these habits, we do these certain things, certain ways, you know, on a regular basis, and they're habits are hard to break. Mm-hmm. So it's what habits are you going to get rid of that really aren't adding a whole lot of value, and start making time to do things like listen. Mm-hmm. And you got to carve time out. You can't be on your phone doing 20 other things. I take an hour and a half out to do those a couple times a week and get a lot of great feedback.
Yeah.
In the early days, it was a lot of, hey, we need to fix this. We need to do that. This is broken. You know, the values aren't happening the way we want them to. And now it's like, it's totally different. Now people are talking about, hey, here's what we can innovate. Here's what we can do differently. That's even better than what we did yesterday. And yesterday is better than what most companies are doing. So, right. You know, it's helping us evolve as a business as we take time to listen to our people.
Yeah, that's right. So the conversations are more generative now, it seems like.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it drives continuous improvement. It drives our Just Fix It initiative that we had. And the Just Fix It initiative can be all focused on recognition, right? People want to feel valued, appreciated. They have great ideas. And man, when they can implement those, they go home happier, healthier.
Absolutely.
They're proud of what they do every day. So,
and the baseline discipline behind the Just Fix It thing, Bill, that you're talking about, it is listening, isn't it?
Absolutely.
It's our leaders listening to the people on the floor. So when it comes to improvements, like, are you really listening to the ideas? Because people know they've got these grand ideas, and not all our ideas are as good as we think they are, right? But we give people an opportunity to float them out there, take a look at it, see if it makes things a little bit better for your whole team. And again, the baseline discipline is listening. Mm-hmm. And I couldn't agree more that
absolutely.
It's a huge part of the communication process. And I'm sure, and I think what we appreciate about you, Jason, is just you're sticking your neck out there. You know, as a leader of this organization, I mean, there's a certain level of vulnerability that comes with this. I'm sure you get zingers every now and then, but you've actually had to be consistent to see the conversation change.
Right.
So versus when you started, either there's crickets or there's a lot of complaining. Now the conversations have turned a little bit more to productivity and like, here are the cool things that are happening among us. I mean, what does that do for you as the leader of this organization? Not just like for a moment, and I know you like to talk about everybody else, but what does that do for you, man?
Yeah, I mean, it's the reason I spring up out of bed every morning and come to work. It's knowing that, you know, people, and it was exactly like you talked about early on. It was, you know, it was crickets or complaining. Mm-hmm. And, you know, nobody expected that we were ever going to listen. But after we started listening and executing on some of their ideas and changing things that they said, hey, this needs to be changed before anything else, we did all those things. Then people came alive and said, well, man, if they're really going to start listening, how about if we do this? How about if we do that? And all the while, people are staying longer. So we're getting more engagement from a lot larger population, which is a huge advantage for a company our size. And we have a lot of people all staying, all engaged, all contributing. So, you know, that's what I've told you guys, you've heard me 100 times say I've got a box of letters under my desk because I get emails and letters weekly from team members that just say, hey, look, you know, this person or that person, because of our culture, helped me through a really tough time, or I never realized that my life wasn't done. And I've got all these dreams and goals and aspirations now because the company allows me to think about that kind of stuff at work. And it opens people up to just a whole new realm of possibilities of accomplishments and contributions to the business because they don't feel like they're just in a box.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right. So just in a moment of reflection so here we are just about to the end of 2022, hard to believe, but, but here we are again a year later.
Can you make it go slower?
I don't know, man. Like somebody said today, the COVID vortex or whatever. I don't know what, if anything, that has to do with it. But man, it sure seems, honestly, for me, it feels like it's all speeding along. But I guess looking back on 2022, been another heck of a year. I don't know that there's a year that I've been around that hasn't been a heck of a year, right? But but when you look back on 22, like what is it for you? What stands out? Are there a couple of highlights maybe that come to mind for you just these last 10, 12 months?
Yeah, I just think of, you know, perseverance. You know, it's been such a couple of tough years. So, I mean, you say what happened in 22 that was amazing or outstanding. It's the fact that we had to do two of these years in a row where we just had all these, you know, crazy obstacles, and, you know, our people fought through it. But again, we would not have gotten through it in the position. I mean, customers tell us all the time that we fared as well, if not better than anybody, any other supplier in our industries throughout this last 2 years. And we could not have done it if we didn't have a cohesive group of people that was here to fight and be together. And we're already in relationship, but people are, you know, growing and developing, and therefore the business is growing and developing and able to take on all these, you know, crazy things that we had to overcome this last 2 years. So the fact that, you know, we worked so much and so hard over the last 2 years just to keep our customers going. And, you know, we were the guy people called when they didn't have any options with other problems that they had. Hey, how can you guys help? And our team came through over and over and over again.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's fantastic. I guess as we're kind of looking toward another new year out in front of you, so I mean, so say we're sitting here this time next year, which we probably will be, but I mean, say we're sitting here this time next year and you just had an amazing 2023. I know I'm throwing you a little bit of a zinger here, but like what comes to, so if we're future tense, what just happened? We're here 2023, had an amazing year. What just happened?
So, you know, the couple things that come to mind are, you know, the leadership action plans and personal professional growth. I mean, that would be number one on my list. Is like, hey, we had, you know, we didn't, you know, we finished this year with over 2,000 leadership action plans. Next year, you know, hopefully 4 or 6. Because now we're working our leadership action plans past our leadership into the front lines of our business, the men and women that are coming to work making parts every day. And that's going to be pretty cool to see, because none of those people have ever worked at a place, I can tell you, 99% of them have never worked at a place where the business is helping them with a personal and professional growth journey. So that will be an amazing, if that's all we accomplish next year. Go. But again, you know, I think it's a lot of, I think our retention is going to be higher next year because we've done so much work the last couple of years. And, you know, with the industry being a little bit off or down from where it's been, people are going to be a little bit more content to stay at a place that's, you know, as good a place as they've ever worked. And I think we're that place. So I think our retention is going to be high. You know, we're going to take the time that we maybe we have a little bit extra of this year, and we're going to, you know, fix up our plants. We're going to be working on, you know, all this other great stuff. Our health and wellness journey is only a year old. So we'll have another year there. But, you know, we're also, you know, we just made an acquisition yesterday, and we're going to continue to acquire companies. So I'm positive that we'll have, more good looks at businesses. And every business we acquire is an opportunity for us to
absolutely
impact more people more, in that's a right. positive way. So
that's right. That's right.
There's a lot more. I mean, sure. Our win list is going to be big next year.
No, I like it. Hey, that's a good start. I love what you're saying right now, man. And again, it's been such a just honor and a privilege to kind of be on this journey together. I was reminded just sitting here across from you, like I tell people the story. Before I officially got hired, I had breakfast with you.
Yeah, Uptown.
At Uptown Kitchen. And remember Mark Beeson was like two tables over, right? Yeah. God rest his soul.
Yeah.
And I remember talking to you and you were already talking to me like I had the job. Nobody had actually made an offer. But I like the sound of this is what I was thinking to myself.
I have a horrible poker face.
So maybe something was done and dusted. I don't know. But anyways, I just think about that moment quite often because what really sold me on this thing was the vision. Mm-hmm. And I think, it was something, I guess I've always had been of the mindset that's just like, if he's saying something that's close enough to what I could see in my mind's eye, then I don't need to be the author of this thing. And that's what I signed up for that day. And ever since that day, it's just been a powerful reminder of how important it is to do the basics, right? And for us, that's the leader action plans. It's listening. And then all the magical things that happen in the margins if we'll just stay on course and do the things we said that we were going to do. That's been my experience here, man. So just as a friend, man, thank you so much for that. We really love the vision that you've cast for us and have been remarkably consistent, and it's helped so many of us along the way. So anyways, as we start to wrap some things up, Bill, I know you got a couple things on your mind right now. Like what are your reflections of this year? And I don't know, what do you have to share, man, as we start to wind this thing down with Jason?
Boy, my reflections of this year, I don't know, years go into each other. I would tell you this. I think every year, as I look back, I think our philanthropy and the stuff we do giving back to our communities is just magical, right? And I, at the beginning of that, I was almost, when we used to go on that social media campaign to share with others, I was like, God, what are we doing? Why are we out there beating our chest? But I was taught a lesson when other companies now come along and say, hey, how you doing that? And you know what? We can give 10,000 hours and we can give 20,000 hours and we can partner with you on this. And boy, it's incredible how it's taken this community, right? And other communities outside of local. Yeah. And companies have said, hey, let us partner up with you guys. Yeah. And so every year I look back at that, and that's some of my proudest moments are going out and doing things for the community with my peers and fellow teammates here.
That's right.
Every single time I walk away feeling better, right, about the organization and who we really are. So
I think, again, it's one of the basics for us, right?
Yeah.
Serving the community and staying consistent with that. You know, I mean, this year I think we're blowing the 100K out of the water. Mm-hmm. Like it's been a pretty cool year for us just in terms of attaining that goal. But it doesn't seem to get old either.
No. And to me, we have some core values that we try and live within these four walls.
Absolutely.
That's living our core values outside of
that's
the four
right.
walls.
Yeah.
And when we talk about having impact on the families and team members here, to me, it's some of the greatest.
Yeah, God wired us to serve, so yes. it's not a coincidence that it feels amazing when we're out there serving together. But I think that's one of the things that when we went on the serving initiative, that'd be cool. We can give back, but what I didn't anticipate is kind of some of what you just said, Bill, was the relationships that are happening outside of our four walls with our people.
Yes,
We're doing life together. Mm-hmm. And nothing lights me up more than to see, could be at one of those events and see people bring their kids, bring their family members and, just to get people in the community serving. And then I just think about the other thing God's put on my, heart and mind is, what if 10,000 businesses do what you just said, Bill?
Would
it, what if we just inspire a handful and those inspire a handful and those inspire a handful, it's like, it could be pretty incredible. And that's the real amazing part about, I think, what the journey that we're on with culture and philanthropy is just a part of that. It's just part of who we are now. We can inspire other companies to serve out there, get their people to serve, and make this just something that businesses do.
Yeah.
How cool would that be? And again, we're just a part of that. I know there's companies, across the country sparingly that are doing it, but we make it more what companies do. And I think that, you know, it starts to change our communities. And if our communities start to change, we start changing the world a little bit. And the world needs to be changed a little bit.
Yeah, right now. Absolutely.
It would be, and it is. Yeah. Powerful. Yes. And pretty amazing. You know, when I see even some of the smaller companies that are out there that are kind of lifting up their teammates and they're bragging about them a little bit, you know, and I'm just like, wow. I don't know how much of that is attributed to anything that we've had a hand in, but like, even if it's not, I care less. Like, that people are celebrating folks that are part of their workforce, to me, it goes such a long, long
70% way. 70% of our people serve this year. 70% of our team members.
That's amazing.
That's awesome.
That's awesome. It is really awesome. And it's way up from last year and way up from the year before. We started this program 6 years ago. You know, Mikhail and the team organized our first, you know, industry, RV industry wide event. And I think there was over 1,500 people that came and served at that event as an industry. So just, again, we're just getting started. Imagine 10 years from now, what it could look like if we just keep
That's right. And that's 70% of our workforce within our company. And then I just heard somebody yesterday talking about the 80 hours of service, because we were doing this report out type of thing, 80 hours of service that they've just done since the beginning of September. I'm like, my gosh, that's almost like another job that you got there on the side. But but so among those 70%, what I'm really saying is there's people that are just serving like
their butts off.
And that's how these hours then accumulate. And that's how you make a difference in your community. And it's, again, it's part of the ongoing conversation with this company, and it's become quite special to us. Jason, as we're wrapping up here, just final thoughts as we kind of wrap up another year, wrap up this podcast, and just, what's on your mind these days that you would just want to share kind of with the folks that are listening in today?
Yeah, so I mean, we talked about a lot of the core stuff for me, but you know, if there's businesses out there that are interested to, you know, really, you know, just inquire on how to take next steps and culture. Cause we were stuck. Every business, I think, gets stuck at some point in time. We've been through probably more now than most companies have ever been through. So we can be a good, you know, a good point for people to, you know, either call Leadership Academy or reach out to me or anybody else through social media here and say, hey, look, our company has some questions. We'd love to figure out, you know, what we could do to really light a fire under our culture and get the momentum going again because we feel it's stalled. Any of the things we're doing with culture, I mean, when we look at culture and leadership here at Lippert, it's, you know, it's leadership coaching, it's personal development coaching, it's our chaplaincy program, it's our philanthropy program, it's our Leadership Academy, you know, so we've got multiple different arms of our leadership and culture that we've created. But the thing is that, you know, the business owners and leaders around the country have to have the courage and intentionality to start their own culture department. And that's there's got to be people there.
Yeah.
You can't expect culture and leadership needle to move if it's everybody's job.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. It's not going to happen. So that'd be what I'd throw out there. It's like, you know, whether you're a leader in the company or you're the top leader of the company, you've got to have those conversations internally, inspire each other to say, look, we really want culture to move. I mean, sales, I think sales or HR or IT or any other function in the business, you wouldn't have no people there and expect results, right?
That's right.
But all the time, businesses around the country say, we want results with culture. We want to move the culture needle, but we're making it everybody's job or we're making it HR's job. And it can't be that way. So, you know, I would encourage business leaders in any position around the country to just have the conversation internally, talk to us, but have it internally with your own people and figure out, you know, we made one hire, right? Like we just talked about 11 years ago,
we made one hire.
That was kind of our first, hey, if we're going to get serious, we got to do something. Yep. So what's that something for every other business out there?
That's a great final thought. So if you want to get unstuck, right, they can give you a call.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yeah.
Or send you an email.
They can send me.
Do you remember
that
email address?
academy@lci1.com.
That's the one.
academy@lci1.com.
That's right. Yeah. Bill Coughlin is the director. I think I mentioned that a little bit earlier. And I know Bill loves telling the story. and just sharing the kinds of things that are happening within our company for the last almost 10 years for you, Bill. And so, Jason, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks, guys.
We love your message, man. And keep beating the drum for us, man. Keep leading us strong like you have been. We appreciate it. And again, if you're listening, please reach out if we can do anything to help you take your next steps on your leadership and culture journey. It's been my pleasure to be with you today with Bill Coughlin and our CEO, Jason Lippert.
Thanks, Jason.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks for listening to today's Built to Lead episode. If you have a story to share or are interested in learning how you can be a business as a force for good, please visit us at www.lci1.com/academy. And please follow Lippert on Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, TikTok, and Twitter. Thank you.
The views and opinions expressed in this podcast belong solely to the speaker and do not necessarily reflect the view or mission of Lippert Components Incorporated.